Welcome to the Lizzian Events News Podcast. And this afternoon, I'm joined by a regular guest to the show, Mr. Rick Paul. Good afternoon, Rick.
Good afternoon, Ian.
Rick, I recently received a submission from Janine Love. I think you've read some of her work. She's quite impressive.
She is, yeah. She keeps herself to herself and we don't know the lady behind the mask, but yeah, she's a lovely person to read and a big supporter as well of the Lizzian Events.
Interestingly, Janine Love has been to the shows on two occasions and she truly wanted just to stand back and just watch and meet. She's a lovely lady and she has no intention of making herself any more visible than she is. And in fairness, she sent us four very interesting articles last year, which were well received. So we'll stay like that. But she sent us a submission a week or so ago, and it's all about working with people who are difficult or somewhat aggressive. And it's a fascinating read, and I'm going to push it out next week or maybe the end of this week. But it made me think about something that's always in my mind. And this thing that's always in my mind is about acceptance, because I know that we've had the conversation about it before. It can drive people a little bit crazy because somebody will say something to me and I'll say, yeah, fair enough. And they think I'm being indifferent. But if they're making a comment that I can do nothing about, then I can't see the point of going round in circles trying to adjust or help them. For example, I was at a show last year and somebody said, oh God, Ian, XXX next to me is encroaching on my area. The fact of the situation was that actually the allocated space that had been taken up by this community member was more than what was paid for anyway. So there wasn't any encroachment. So I said I wouldn't worry about it. And truly, this community member took offence to it. And I understand why, but I'm not losing any sleep over the fact that there was offence made. It's just that my comment was, well, I wouldn't worry about it. Make the best of what you've got. So acceptance is where we're at. So here we go, Rick. I'm going to start you off with a seed idea. I truly believe that if somebody dislikes you or somebody feels and offers negative vibes or conversations about you, they're not actually doing themselves any good, because what they're demonstrating is that you absolutely control them. If, on the other hand, somebody does something to you that perhaps doesn't work well with you or isn't perhaps the best to your best advantage, if you choose to say, okay, I accept that, I'm not going to let it worry me, then they don't actually control you. Little bit of a complicated conundrum there, but what's your feeling on that, Rick?
I mean, what listeners probably won't know at the minute, I'm working my way through Ian's book that talks about not worrying about anything. I worked with a lot of different people over my working life, and I've always been of the thing, if they're talking about you, they're not talking about anybody else. And one of Ian's points, and I've got it written down in front of me actually, is one of his rules of life is thinking of, is this of any use to me? So taking on board that somebody's put a negative comment about you, well, how's that going to help me progress forward? Everybody is going to be entitled to their opinion. And as we've said on previous podcasts, I'd invite anybody to question anything that anybody tells them, but not to get worried about it. My school of thought on people who go out of the way to be negative towards you is that maybe, just maybe, they're covering for something, and that you've actually hit the nail on the head. You've actually got closer to them or closer to the root of what they're thinking about than they want to actually admit to. I mean, for me, the thought process with that is that defense sometimes is the sorry attack is the best form of defense, that you know, if I come out and meet that person with aggression, then they're not going to get close enough to me to actually find out what my real thoughts are.
Yes, I mean, I do agree with that quite emphatically, that often people's aggression is covering up an inadequate situation or an inadequacy within themselves. I think very often that to demonstrate that you are indifferent, or to demonstrate that you're not prepared to go any further with a situation, actually sometimes takes immense strength, because very often from an outside point of view, people can think that you've capitulated. Do you think that's pretty accurate?
I do, yeah. I mean, thoughts, they're just people's thoughts and beliefs are just a thought that you've subscribed to. So again, coming back to it, sounds like you're repeating yourself, but if it's of no use to you, it doesn't matter what that person thinks of you. It's more important of what you think of yourself.
Yes, you see, there's the point, isn't it? And let's come to the situation perhaps that you get sometimes when you are working with somebody one-to-one. Very often you'll be in a situation where somebody's making one statement to you, but you're in a being saying, actually, you're talking, say, for example, they're talking about somebody else. Halfway through the conversation, you're thinking, hang on a minute, you're not talking about anybody else. You're talking about yourself. You're talking about the things that you're in fear of, the things that you can't confront. Because I think that very often, people who want to be confrontational, people who want to always seem to argue and find fault, they do this because they are in themselves quite inferior. Do you find that sometimes in readings?
I agree. You know, I will sit there and I'll let people indulge in the stories and then let them get so far to a point and then just go, right, that's okay. And that's your perspective, because I'm a big one for having perspective, a different perspective to other people. But then there comes a point of going, right, this is a smokescreen. What are we actually doing here? What point are we actually getting to? And the thing is with me, if they take the chance and come for a reading with me, they're not going to get away with it, because I will put it on their toes. I will ask them what they've actually come here for. Is it just to sit and tell me a story about how I should perceive what's going on with their life? Or do they really want direction? Do they really want guidance? You know, I cut straight to it without, you know, I don't dress round anything. I will say to it, I mean, sometimes we have to go into some really dark corners, but knowing then that I'm always stood there while we walk through it. But yes, I don't tolerate that for very long.
So what we're saying with acceptance is that sometimes you are in a situation where it is easier, and let's be clear about this, it is easier just to say, okay, you have your opinion, I'll have mine, let's go our separate ways. Because agreeing to disagree is nice and easy to say, but there are some quite strong connotations with that, because sometimes people will turn around and say, you just don't care, and they read it wrong, don't they? Rather than you saying, I don't want to get you uptight about this, I don't want to continue to argue with you, you have it your way, I'll have it my way, and we'll see if we can make the best of it. But people even take that in the wrong way as well, don't they?
Yeah, but a conversation at the end of the day is a two-way street. You can't have somebody talking at you and then not explain A, if they've been offended, or possibly if they agree. There's got to be that open dialogue. I mean, the work that you've done and the work that I'm currently doing, it'd be no good for me whatsoever having that person sat across from me just nodding or shaking their head, or just having, or me having that perception that they're getting irritated without them getting involved in it. I mean, even when I do a demonstration, I say to the people, this goes nowhere if you're not actively involved in it. So we're all going to have differing opinions, but who can turn around and say who's right or wrong? Because with all due respect, we're not living in one another's head. We can have a perspective of what that other person's thinking, but we're not living their life, they were not living their day-to-day circumstances, and we don't know what's influenced that particular decision at that moment in time.
So the answer is in this instance is to accept that you don't know what people are thinking, and you don't actually know what their true motive is all of the time.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I sometimes listen to people who like to quote, shall we say, inspirational thoughts and inspirational books. And we see them every day on Facebook, don't we, Rick? All the time. You know, wake up today, it's a new beginning, et cetera, et cetera. And by the time you get to getting into bed at night, you think, well, if that was a new beginning, I better hope it's a new beginning tomorrow. Because life actually isn't very easy, is it? The truth, the absolute truth of life is it isn't very easy. And for example, you know, people say, oh, you know, my life's not going very well. There's a choice there, isn't there? You either accept that it isn't going well and do something about it, or you wallow within that place and stay there forever.
Yeah, I look at things in a fairly simplistic way. I think you can look at wholesale, at how your life's going, and overanalyze it. But having that feeling within you that I want to change something requires effort. There is no magic wand out there. You know, whoever it is that you subscribe to, you know, your gurus, your guides, your gods, whatever it is, they're not going to be around at that moment where you've actually got to, you know, if you was doing a building and you was putting it up, you'd have to do the foundations. So all of that has to be dug out. That's got to be that, you know, so you've got to put down foundations. You've got to put the roots down. You've got to put the steps in place to change that life. And whether we believe it or not, it is down to the individual to make that initial step. Nobody, whether they inspire you, whether they love you or not, can do that unless you're actually involved in your and actively involved in your own life.
Yes. And not only that, Rick, but you have to demonstrate that you are indeed successful yourself before you can help other people. There's too many times that people will make comments and they'll say, oh, you should be doing this or you should be doing that. When the real truth of it is, if you look at actually these people making these comments, they're pretty damn useless themselves. I think it's like I watched some motivational speakers over last year. I listened to their work. I watched them on YouTube, etc. And you know, as hard as it seems, I couldn't find one, not a one, that actually spoke anything other than rhetoric. If you go and listen to a motivational speaker, they say, I started from nowhere. I was a drug dealer. I came from a slum. I was in prison, etc., etc., etc. Or I was beaten up by a husband. My children all became drug dealers, you know, let's make the situation as crucial as it possibly can. And look at me, I dragged myself from nowhere to where I am today. And here I am standing in front of you. And if I can do it, you can do it too. That sounds great. And it's a lovely story. You know, it would make a good film. But the fact is, the majority of people in that room aren't beaten by their husbands. Haven't got children who are drug dealers, they haven't been to prison, etc., etc. Their place is completely and utterly different. And just saying, I have done this, is not actually giving anybody the key to their happiness and success. In fact, the majority of people who are motivational speakers are selling something, aren't they, Rick? But yeah. What you have to do is you have to accept that that is the case. And for me, let's come back to where we're at and the conversations that we've had many times. Sometimes it is easier to accept that life is difficult and life is troubled and life can be exceptionally awkward. What I am saying here, my opinion is, if you say, I absolutely accept my situation and I accept my part in it. Now I'm going to move on life becomes easier than attempting to fight that which has already happened.
Yeah. What we resist persists. That's that could sum that up, you know, in a few words. What we resist persists. So you need that degree of acceptance, and you also, it might sound like I'm preaching a little bit, but it's that self-belief, that self-awareness, that inner being that will drive you, you know, and any information that's given, until you run it through your own processing systems, and as you say, quite rightly say in there, and start to accept your part in your life that you're living, I suppose you filter a lot of the information that comes around, but is it accurate for each and every person? No, it can't be. So you accept the bits that work for you and discard the stuff that doesn't. And then if you look at your progress and gauge your progress, and when I sit doing a reading, I say this to people quite often, set your goals by all means. Look at what you've done in your life that would lead you to believe that you could actually achieve these new goals. And then if it's out of your comfort zone, we lay the appropriate foundations down and we celebrate each and every victory. That way we can keep on top of the progress we're making, and we can also be realistic and honest with ourselves. Are we overstretching ourselves? Are we risking going into debt? Or do things just need a tiny little tweak? Does our mind need another way of looking at it? Do I need advice from somebody? But as you say, if you accept your life and your responsibility, because that's a big thing with me, personal responsibility. When I think like everybody that's listening, we've all had problems in life, we've all had tough things that have happened in life, but I don't blame anybody. I take personal responsibility for what's going on going forward. We could all have had the bad upbringing, all the trauma in the world, but at some point we've got to turn around and accept that we are the architects of our life going forward. Regardless of this that's happened, because we can't unfortunately change that, we can spend hours with counsellors and all the rest of it trying to put it right. But ultimately, once we've walked out that door, we're back in that now moment. So we have to accept us as we are at any given moment, if that makes sense, Ian.
It really does. Perhaps you'll be interested in this anecdote, Rick. You know, because we're very, very good personal friends and we discuss things that obviously we wouldn't discuss on a podcast because they're personal to you and I. But you know that perhaps 20 years ago, I was in the most difficult of difficult financial situations. And I was making mistake after mistake. I could see that I was making them. And I then made the mistake of chancing, becoming a gambler, taking immense risks. And this is the way of many people when they're in difficult situations. Instead of consolidation, they take immense risks. And then one day I was talking to my dear, dear friend Francis, and he could easily have helped me, and he offered incredible help, but he preferred me as a friend to negotiate my own difficulties. And he said, write an essay, Ian, and write an essay of what you would really love. And I've just found some of it on my computer, and I'm going to let you listen to it. I am in the most difficult of situations. I doubt whether any man would want to be here today. It's strange, isn't it, how one can owe millions or thousands of pounds and wander into a court and take out a bankruptcy paper and for a few hundred pounds declare themselves bankrupt. And they declare themselves financially bankrupt and they walk away legally and correctly from their difficulties. It's a wonderful thing, and it's something that people fail to use to their advantage because their pride doesn't allow them to do it. They don't want to see their name in a newspaper or in the catalogue of information or the credit rating be ruined, when the truth of the matter is we have already ruined it all anyway, and everybody knows that the financial difficulty is there. from the grocer you can't pay the bill to the credit card that goes, no, thank you, it's not accepted. So today, I'm going to go into my court, into the court of my mind, and I'm going to get a piece of paper and I'm going to go emotionally, intellectually, and spiritually bankrupt. And I'm going to write this bankruptcy paper out, and I am going to go bankrupt as a human being, and that will give me a fresh start. I accept wholeheartedly my situation and the fact that this bankruptcy means I'll lose friends and family and almost everything that I have that is worth anything. But the point is, this bankruptcy allows me to start again. I accept my place in my life wholeheartedly. What's your feeling on that commitment, on that statement?
Wow, that's emotive stuff, isn't it? You know, to take that responsibility for everything that you've done, everything that you've not done, and then put yourself, without going along a religious route too much, but putting yourself on that altar and sacrificing yourself for, because to me, nothing happens overnight. It's all built up over a period of time. So you're a great one for saying about where you invest your life's hours. So to come to that point of just going, right, everything that I've invested my life's hours in now is gone, and everything that I want to achieve, I'm willing to atone for whatever it is that I've done. And I'm just looking for that, forgiveness.
Well, the point is, Rick, actually, there was no atonement or forgiveness asked in that document that I wrote 20 years ago. Actually, it was just a document that said, I no longer owe any debt to myself or to any other people. I cannot continue my life if I continue to look back and take on these debts. I mean, interest.
Was that liberating, Ian?
Sorry?
Sorry. Was that liberating?
Well, yes, because later what I did was I got my mobile phone and I removed every single name from it, every one. And then I waited. And then I waited. And then I waited. And within a 2-month period, I realized the absolute truth, Rick. Do you know what it was? Nobody phoned me.
I was going to say that those that really matter.
Yes, your mobile phone is the asset that we could all use. You can actually start writing down the names of people who text you or communicate with you, and then see what percentage those names are to the amount of people on your list. You may well be very surprised.
I don't think I would, actually. In that sense, I don't think I would. I find the same with social media to a point as well, that you look down your list, and I did it once just out of pure amusement. I was sat there one night, and if anybody that knows me, I spend a lot of time on Facebook and Instagram and things like that. I got a list, and I think there was 101 people that were on the chat bar at the side there, and these are people that I've met at certain points. There's people that I've worked with, and I looked through there, and my wife was on there, and I think my mum was on there at some point, and a couple of business associates. So, a real large spread of different people. And then I just thought, if I wanted to ring out of that 101 people, and I just said, I need you now, or I need to come and have time with you now, I've got something going through my head that I need to thrash out, I need to think, how many of that 101 people do I honestly think that I could go and be open and forthright and be exactly as I would without treading on any toes, without crushing any business relationships or upsetting anybody else's ideals and beliefs? And I came down to the conclusion that I might as well sit and talk to myself for that evening.
But Well, for me, though, things have changed somewhat, because if I look at my phone, I've literally just done it. There is quite a hefty list of people on there now that, and I could say that a majority of them I communicate with on a pretty regular basis, which is great. I mean, you know, for example, that sometimes we have quite in-depth messenger ticks backwards and forwards like tennis matches now and again, and then we may not speak for a couple of days or so. But it's interesting, isn't it, that I because I scarified, because I cleaned out the area that I was in and I made decided to make this major change, then at the end of the day, long term, it really worked for me. I mean, interestingly, you and I were talking about some situation last year and you said, oh, how do you feel about it? And I said, well, I don't really care, you know, Rick, because once somebody has demeaned you publicly or starts to become awkward or starts to push out critical opinion and whatever, the best idea is to say, initially put out your point, give your position so everybody's clear about it, and then just say, do you know something? I don't give a damn. And once you make that and once you accept it, life becomes so easy. And I think that a lot of people make the mistake of feeling that their opinion has more in weight or importance than it really does. So I think people make comments, and I think that the majority of people are intelligent enough to see the whole picture, and they accept that sometimes things don't go well and they don't need to continue and perpetuate issues or difficulties. But we do come across some people who seem to become uptight and really frustrated the fact that they see other people's lives not going in the way that they want to see it. They don't accept that people have their own ways.
Absolutely agreed. We, you know, it'd be a boring world, Ian, if we were all exactly like one another, and it certainly meant for some more interesting conversations, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
But I don't think there's anybody out there that, as wise as people are, and the diverse amount of people that I've met over my working life, and I've had a hell of a working life, but there's not one person, one singular person, where I would say that they've got the answer to everything, because it's life's experiences teach you things, the good, the bad, and the indifferent. And like you alluded to earlier, life is difficult and it can be difficult. So it's learning to work. I mean, I did a video for you very early on, and one of my things there is that I believe that people are brought to this earth plane or born into this world, however you want to perceive it, with a set of tools. And when we've got those tools, we use them to our best advantage. Hopefully we maintain them and look after them. And then if we're looking for something else that's outside of the comfort zone that requires another way of looking at it, then we go out there and we gain those tools and do that in there, you know, and use them in another, you know, to further yourself in this material world, shall you say. But I just honestly don't believe that there's anybody out there that you could put up there, shine a light and just go, they've got it 100% bang on, they know everything, because you never know what goes on behind a closed door.
I agree. It's like people who would idolize Richard Branson or any of these really well-known, Alan Sugar and whatever. What is the point? The point is, there's none whatsoever. You can't have Richard Branson's life. You can't start selling out-of-date or poor stock records in a corner shop in Soho today. Richard Branson could. You can't be a market trader and somebody who gets involved into the computer scene as Alan Sugar did. All of those avenues are now closed to you. So as a consequence, you know, to idolize or follow somebody else's life pattern is a completely and utterly futile thing to do, because you just can't simply do it. I mean, it's okay listening to some motivating speaker who says, do it this way and it'll win, because I would turn around and say, well, give me 20 people who have followed your way and actually succeeded. Because, you know, the truth of the matter is, they won't be able to find one, Rick, not a one, because we follow a path, we follow a journey, and all of these people who've had immense success, whether it's celebrity success or financial success or sports success, etc., etc., all of these people have followed one particular path, and I except that I cannot follow that path. I might want to go out and buy a pair of trainers that a sports celebrity uses, but they will not make me run his race. I might wear the Omega watch Daniel Craig, who acts James Bond and advertises in front of every jeweler's shop in the UK, but it will not make me James Bond or Daniel Craig, will it? No. It won't make me James Bond. As much as I love Seve Ballesteros, wearing a gold Rolex would not make me be able to do a hole-in-one, one-handed, on a golf course in Spain. But I believe if you accept that you are in your own place and life may not be that easy, and sometimes we have to go bankrupt and start all over again, then life can be a little bit more comfortable.
Agreed. I mean, I've just got to put something to you in here. It's about the use of information and the things that are given. And I'm quoting from somebody's book. Maybe you're familiar with the wording. So if you, whenever I read anything, I'm a big note taker, because sometimes I don't always get the, if it's sort of the bigger words, and I ain't quite got it, the sentence to flow, I'll go back and then I'll sit with it and I'll let it sort of stew in my mind and then see how Rick would put that, his understanding on it. So I took down these notes like yesterday as I was reading, and it talks about when things are put to you of how you should do, which to me, when somebody says you should do, that's a command. So you should follow that command. So one, is this of use to me? Two, does this claim make sense? Three, have I the time to investigate this claim? And if you've ever spent any time talking to Ian, he'll talk to you a lot about your life's hours and how you invest them. Anything that you invest in needs to have a positive return. So you need to look at, when this information comes in, do I accept it as fact, or do I cut my losses with it and move on from it? Four, can I personally gain any benefit from the idea? So they were four criteria that were put there. And then the conclusion that I put at the end when I wrote my note down was, if the answer is no to any of the above, discard the thought process and the time being put into thinking about it, and go out basically and go do something more constructive with your life.
Yes. Now, that is such an interesting statement, because acceptance is a very, very important aspect to one's future and one's happiness. Let's look at, as you know, my almost hero, Mr. Steven Jobs. Now, if you were sat by my bedside, you would see that I've got a stack of my favourite books. And the first tier is full of books about critical thinking. And the second tier is all about the people that I like and admire. For example, I'm reading a lot about a man called John Phillips at the moment, who you wouldn't know, not going to bore you with, but he was a consummate photographer, photojournalist. He was just majestic. But my Everest of books and my favourite books are all about Steve Jobs. What people fail to understand with Steve Jobs is that he not only had fantastic successes, but he had monumental failures. And very often, Steve Jobs, his failures are used an example of, he used them as learning curves and he used them as stepping stones. If you know anything about him and you've read anything about him, far from using these things as stepping stones, he didn't do that at all. Do you know what he did? He basically just said, door closed. He didn't reflect on it, go back to it, think about it. He just said, door closed. So when you look at the things that he's done, and I'm not going to go round and round the circles because it'd take too much time, but if you look at his failures, his list of failures are absolutely monumental. I mean, his greatest failure was to employ somebody who he thought could steer his company into even a greater place. And 18 months later, that man got Steve Jobs out of Apple. he literally lost his business by employing somebody who he thought would take his business further. And if that's a mistake, that is one that's absolutely colossal. But what did he do? He didn't get vindictive. He didn't make any comments about it. He literally just said, I have lost my job as CEO of Apple Computers. That's what he said. And then he moved on and he made an investment with Lucas, George Lucas, and they started a company. Well, he reinvested money into George Lucas's business. That business became incredibly prosperous. He bought Lucas out and then he sold the business to Disney. And later he used the money that he had received from Disney to buy back Apple and sack the CEO and board members who had made him lose his business. But he didn't use the fact that he'd lost his job as a stepping stone. What he did was he actually moved on and he actually changed the situation to his advantage. He accepted things all of his life. He used to say, if that's the way you feel about it, that's fine. That's the way he was. Acceptance was a very important part of his life. So if you look at situations and people, you have to accept. It's no use saying that I am going to follow Steve Jobs's mindset because it's just simply not possible. You can't be an adopted Iranian boy who is fortunate enough to be adopted by a father who repairs cars in his garage and saves all of that money to put his adopted son through university. And then when his son decides to leave university and start his own business and then take over the very garage to start that business, you can't be that person because you'd need to be adopted. You'd need to have a father that loved you beyond comprehension, who treated you absolutely as a son and loved that child to bits, when all of the work that you'd ever done is then to save for the university is then, if you like, squandered and says, I don't want to do this. And then just hold your arms out and say, you do whatever you do, son, because I love you. That is a unique place to be. And that situation is Steve Jobs. He was built, he was accepted wholeheartedly, and he learned acceptance. It's a powerful tool, Rick.
Yeah.
And I think that when we go through our journey, if we look at our lives and find the difficult places, bearing in mind that life's difficult, very often it's when we stop fighting, when we draw the line, when we walk away, when we close doors, that's when changes are made.
Yes, to quote somebody, it's the deals that you walk away from that often benefit you the most. Thought I'd just get that one in here.
Yeah. So let's go a little bit further with acceptance. It's a great word, isn't it? And it has so many different ways. I suppose, you know, it's like the fisherman who goes out absolutely convinced that he's going to catch a wonderful day's catch, and then the gods go against him and he doesn't get any fish, and the chap across the way is pulled in hunters and fish. What does he do? Does he accept that that's the way that it is for the day, or does he do what modern society does, goes down to the fishing tackle shop and says, this kit's no good, I want to buy the best rods there is? Which way would you go?
I think a poor workman will always blame his tools, won't he?
But you see, in that instance, it may not be a poor workman. He might be just in the wrong place, wrong time, wrong situation. The fish might be only over in that shadow where that tree is that particular day. The clouds might have been different. Sun may have been blocked out, so the shadow. There might have been so many other situations. And instead of looking at the whole picture and accepting the whole picture, they've actually tried to isolate it to something. Do you find that situation in your work?
What, it's spiritual work?
Yeah.
Yeah, that I'm a big believer of that. Again, I think probably I'm slightly repeating myself, that you don't have the answers to everything. So looking round to pin the situations on somebody else's actions, looking for reasons why that things are going wrong, why, I'm a big believer in divine timings, you know, wherever that phrase came from, that sometimes we don't get to see the big picture. We get snapshots of things. We only get slight insight of things. So timing, I think, is crucial with stuff that, you know, we're not always going to know what's going to happen. Certain things have to drop in. Without going too cliched, I do believe that life is like a big jigsaw, that essentially we've got all the pieces in the box. It's just that it's a bit of a bugger at times to get the bigger picture when you haven't actually got the you haven't actually got the literal box there with the picture on the outside of it to see the final design. So I think, if I'm perfectly honest with all of that, Ian, I think that anybody who's straightforward, honest and to the point, the vast majority of us are actually winging it with no real idea.
Yeah, I think a lot of people have I don't want to really go down the route of responsibility, because that's going to be the subject of another conversation between the two of us. But when we come to acceptance, I love the idea of the jigsaw puzzle and how difficult it can be. I mean, some people choose to have a 12-piece kids jigsaw, which is easy to put together and they've already got the picture, or other people would want the 1,000-piece picture, a jigsaw, and they, when they've spent an hour, 2 hours, 3 days, weeks, whatever it is, putting it together, they say, oh, look how clever I am. And yet, you know, the truth of the matter is, the person who's bought the simplest one, the easy one, already made the picture, he's moved on to do something else. I think I prefer the 12-piece jigsaw to the difficult one.
Yeah, I agree. Totally. I'm not a big jigsaw fan anyway. But yeah, I agree with you. I'd rather get the end result done out there, get the better feeling that I've been looking for from whatever reason I was doing a jigsaw for, which would be quite strange for me anyway, and then just move on to whatever the next thing is.
I think acceptance takes immense strength. I think acceptance takes more strength than actually trying to stand your corner. Because I see something in you, if I may say so, that 18 months or so ago, when you started to do your Facebook Lives, it hurt you to the bottom of your heart. You were literally in a situation like you felt that people were putting a red-hot sword right into the core of your soul when they made some pretty negative and vindictive and vicious statements about your work. Today, you couldn't give a damn. It doesn't make any difference, because you see the reality of it, that the majority of people who look at your work absolutely love it, and the odd few that don't are really in an insignificant place. They're having an opinion and they're fighting against a group of people that actually don't care about their opinions. Do you think that, to a way, acceptance is an indication of growth?
Absolutely. Growth and maturity to a point, and the realization that no matter what we do, what the grounding is with it, what the how strong it is, how much it can, in its literal sense, change people's lives if they take on board, you know, and take control of their own life. Yeah, these, and they are insignificant. But again, they're a life's learning lesson, because me a year ago or 18 months ago, whatever that was fledgling. You gain a little bit of armor from it. You gain that acceptance that you're not going to please everybody all of the time. And then you realize, when you speak to people like Ian, you speak to people like Campbell Wallace, that I spend a lot of time talking to at the shows, that you've got a lot of life's hours that are ticking down, like the, you know, the sands of time going through an hourglass. Mm-hmm. So would you really want to spend your precious life's hours of worrying about one comment out of 257 on a live feed? Because what happens as well is, the people that are there that support you and that love you and want to give you that strength and upliftment and will follow you to the ends of the earth will gang up on this person. So this person's only got a short shelf life anyway, because those people that want to be on there will be on there for a reason. They might be looking for some sort of guidance. These people that are just on there for devilment, well, I'll find something else to do because it really doesn't bother me. Like you said there, it took me 18 months, Ian. It took me 18 months of acceptance. It took me to realise personal responsibility and that I gave up a year of actually going live, because if you look at my timeline on Facebook, it was a year between doing that particular one and probably going on there. And that's cost me. It hasn't cost him anything. Hasn't cost anybody else anything. That's cost me. But as you say, acceptance, maturity, and now you're welcome to put what you like, because it just doesn't affect me, because I'm dealing with individual people. Help the person gain acceptance, what they do, what they can't do. Get them to the start line. I'm not a big one for knowing about motor racing, but if I summed up a lot of the work that I do with the spiritual counselling, is to get the right fuel into the vehicle, get them to the start line, get them to accept what's in front of them, and just go, right, you are now ready to go. You've got a handbrake that you're in control of. Once you drop that handbrake and you start moving forward, you accept things as they are. You've got all of the tools now. You've got all of the fuel. What you make of your life now going forward is entirely down to you. The light's just gone green. You've got to put your foot down now, drop that handbrake and make them steps forward.
Very interesting, Rick. Some years ago, I had a friend, and he was quite a good friend. He moved and we lost contact. But he was on the telephone list, funnily enough. And he was an unbelievably successful salesman. And I'm not saying he could sell ice to Eskimos or sell anything to anybody who didn't want it, because he always used to laugh at that and he used to say it's a stupid statement. And I said to him once, "What do you think makes you a great salesman?" And do you know what his answer was? I accept the word no, and I accept some people don't want what I've got to sell. And he got to this wonderful stage of his life that he knew within 5 minutes, Rick, of interacting with a potential customer, whether they were going to buy from him or not. And rather than try and use sales techniques to enforce somebody to buy something, because he or you say, if you force somebody to buy something, they'll only buy from you once, because for the rest of the days, they'll see you as a confidence trickster or a shyster or somebody who's just in for their own gain. He said, but if you sell to somebody who wants to buy a product, then you will have a friend for life. So what Mike said to me was this. He said, I know within 5 minutes if somebody wants to buy from me or not, and I look them dead square in the face, I give them one of my pens, one of my cards, and say, okay, if you need me in the future, you know where I am. Great to see you. You're looking absolutely fantastic. He said, and then I walked off to see my next customer. And instead of spending an hour and a half a day with one person, he said, I used to spend my whole day talking to 8 or 9 people, and invariably I would meet the person who wanted to buy my product. Wonderful thought. He accepted that people didn't want to buy. He accepted the word no, and he kept moving until he met the people who wanted to buy and wanted to say yes. What a great way to live your life.
Love it. I think that's absolutely brilliant. Again, we're not going to please everybody. It's just not possible. But I mean, I've seen it now with, I think my third full season with you. So I'm getting round a lot of different people, and I'm doing lots of platform work and meeting lots of different people while you're up on stage demonstrating, or where you're actually talking to them on a more private basis there. And yeah, that absolutely bears out. You'll get that sense when you sit with some people. If you go back over the history of the reading and the work that you've done before, you're going to pick out fairly quickly if you're going to gel with this particular person's energy. And I have stopped with people before and just said, I don't think I'm the person to help you with this journey, and possibly place them in the direction of somebody else who I feel is better placed to do it. But I accept that. I accept that I am not complete. There's some of my parts and there's some of my experiences to date. It doesn't make me completed. It doesn't make me any station above or below anybody else. I just accept that's me. And I mean, I advertise that, Ian. As you well know, I have a little plaque that sits on any working environment that I am spiritually. I am what I am. I do what I do. I'm just me. And I suppose that comes down to acceptance of self.
Yes, it does. It's accepting who you are and accepting that you are prepared to reveal that to other people, rather than say, I'm an international guru or I'm an international this or whatever. You say, look, I'm Rick Paul. I take the time to learn and put together the best possible way to work with you. Here I am. Sit with me. Let's see where we're going to go.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you think since you've met me, Ian, Reiki master, hypnotherapy, NLP practitioner, mental health awareness training, other counselling courses, and always looking. You know, if you could see where I'm sat now, I'm surrounded by bits of paper, notes of things. I stand up in front of an audience and I go, I'm inspired by so many things. You know, I wrote something the other week for you about a toothbrush. I'm inspired by everything that comes round. Yet if you take time to know me, you will also realise, oh, so-and-so said that before. Right, I'm open and honest. I call myself a Jack Womble. And the reason I say about a Jack Womble is that it's half jackdaw and half womble. Well, jackdaws are always attracted to anything that's shiny or glittery, which is a piece of information to me and I can use it. And a womble makes good use of the things that he finds. So I put them together and I never claim to reinvent the wheel, but I just throw a little bit of sauce and a little bit of spice in there and just go, that's my perspective today. If you want to come and discuss it with me further, then I'm here. I'm an open book. I've got nothing to hide. Ian's put on the articles before. I'm not egotistical. I am just straight down the line. I when I close a reading or close a consultation with people, I say, right, there's my email address. I've got a working life outside of what I do, but I am available if you come up with something that you need help on. I mean, I had it last night. I spent an hour with somebody for no payment whatsoever, that it became very apparent that despite keeping to my side of what I was picking up and what I was going to say, that person wanted a different answer from me. I stuck with the same script right the way through, that the actions that she was going to take was going to cost her, and she wanted something different. So I offered the advice, and then at the end, it basically comes down to what we've been talking about all this way through. She'll either accept the advice or she won't. I know which one I think she'll do, because she'll go to somebody until she gets the answer that she's actually looking for, rather than trusting her own her intuition based on the evidence of how she's performed in her life up to this point, accepting the truth.
Yes. When one is in the most difficult of emotional situations, often it is only accepting the reality of the whole issue, of the whole experience, that we can walk away from it. There are many situations in life that we fail to understand is a fait accompli. It's over, it's done, you can't go any further with it. And yet, within the conscious mind, within the day-to-day mind, there is a hope and a desperation that the whole of the issue will be reversed. And failing to accept that is one of the most difficult issues, I think, of modern society. People who are so resistant to accepting a fait accompli, so resistant to accepting that something has happened. Goodness knows that I shouldn't make this statement, but I feel compelled to say it. It's like the ins and outs of the recent election and the outcome of that. We have to accept that it is a way that it is and move on. But in some, I find this quite an interesting thing because, you know, it's like people who get divorced. You either accept that that's the situation or you don't. You absolutely have met many people over the years who can't accept the situation and become vindictive and hateful towards the separate person within the separation. The point is that if you can't accept it, you can't move on, and you start to look at the same within other relationships, you start to look at the same pattern, and then the relationship is soured, and you get this perpetual circle where it just goes wrong time and time again. Unless you can accept situations and accept the reality of situations, very often you're just glued in and stuck to the path. It's nothing to do with the situation that has occurred, the issue, the cruelty, the pain, whatever it is. It's nothing to do with that. It's accepting that there's nothing that can be done about it, and you either choose to move on and become happy or make your life happy, or you live a life of unhappiness. And that's a hard, hard lesson, Rick.
It is. I mean, I work with a lady online in America, and she doesn't tolerate fools. She doesn't fluffy coat anything or anything like that. We have full and frank discussions. I don't always like what I hear, but this is where you have to have that side of you that accepts sometimes that things, the answer to it all, we can spend hours deliberating and going round and round in circles, ifs, buts and maybes, but the answer sometimes is just down to because that's the way it is. And then when you accept that that's the way it is, then you've got a choice to make. It's almost like coming up to a crossroads point, which is a story for another day, but it frustrates the bejesus out of the show. I was looking for a word that wasn't abusive. But you come down to that, right, so I know what's going on. I don't particularly like it, but I've got to make a move. So I take that on board. That's the way it is. So to move forward, I've either got to turn backwards and keep going round and round in that perpetual circle, or make a new path, go down that path. And again, we're repeating that word over and again for emphasis, but it's acceptance of sometimes that's just the way it is.
Well, I think you and I have covered the word acceptance pretty substantially over the last 45 minutes or so. And I think that somebody somewhere will take on board some of the ideas that you've put forward, some of the ideas that I've put forward. We're not worried particularly if they're all going to be accepted by everyone, Rick.
No. No, that's it's a thing that come up with me, and I've worked with some, let me put this in a nice way. It's I've worked with some rough people over the years, and my thoughts with it, and I'm honest, you know, I'm not one of these posh people or who can be very eloquent at times. There's a lot of fun with me, but I just leave you with this thought from me, that opinions are like bum holes. Everybody's got one.
Absolutely brilliant. Rick, thank you so much for your time. Great to speak to you, and I'll speak to you next time.
Thank you, Ian. Thank you.